Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Just 3 months ago, we were proceeding normally with our lives, getting ready for a national election and the holidays to follow. Then Sandy hit.
Governor Christie's State of the State address yesterday was largely about recovery from Sandy.
41,000 families are still displaced from their homes today.
He urged Washington again to pass the full Sandy relief bill and talked about how some of that money will be spent.
Now, New Jerseyans need to know this. Nearly 1,400 vessels were either sunken or abandoned in our waterways during Sandy. 1,400. In Manilocking alone, 58 buildings and 8 cars were washed into Barnegat Bay. Now, we'll remove this debris, and we will dredge the bay to reduce the risk of flooding and to improve the health of the bay. And we'll do it beginning this week, the very same week that this administration furthers its commitment to the health of Barnegat Bay by implementing the toughest fertilizer law in America.
So that's how some public recovery money will be spent. As for your private insurance policies?
Now, Executive Order 107 makes sure that when insurance payments do come, they are not compromised by excessive deductibles, and it will ensure that our citizens maximize their reimbursements from their insurance companies.
And so it was largely the State of the Sandy address. The Record and their website, NorthJersey.com, knocked the speech today as containing a shortage of detail and absence of initiatives about anything other than the storm. Joining us now to talk about Christie's election year State of the State address and listen to some more excerpts with us is Mendham's finest, the Sultan of Shoe Leather, WNYC's Bob Henley. Hi, Bob.
You talking to me?
Yes, you. We just played a few samples, right. But were you surprised that the governor started with and spent so much of the 45-minute speech on Sandy?
Not at all. It's one of these things where it makes sense for him politically and makes sense for the state of New Jersey. And the next couple of days, really, the fate of New Jersey's short, long, and midterm economic circumstances being decided by Congress. And so I think what Christie wanted to do is focus like a laser, using that speech, which was carried by C-SPAN, to keep the pressure on Congress for that $51 billion.
And in political context, it is an election year, and his actions as governor during the storm are what made him as popular as he is today, so it makes political sense to focus on. How high are those approval ratings and likely voter polls that you last saw?
I saw the Public Mind poll, which shows above 70%. And what's, I think, most troubling for Democrats is that the governor has made inroads in communities of color with women. This is the kind of numbers we saw with Tom Kaine Sr. Remember, there was a day, believe it or not, where a Republican could carry African-American votes. Coretta Scott King came in and campaigned for Governor Kaine. So we're getting to that moment, and what the legislature is concerned about is not only is a governorship up in November, but all 120 seats. And they're concerned that this could be a replay of what happened in the with Kaine, where the Republicans picked up significantly in the legislature.
But here's what could be the harder part for the governor, anything but the storm. So here is Governor Christie from the speech touting his economic record.
In total, we've added nearly 75,000 private sector jobs in New Jersey since we took office in January 2010. Now, I mention the words private sector advisedly because we have not grown government. Quite the contrary. We've gotten our house in order by keeping our promise to reduce the size of government. In the last 3 years, we have cut more than 20,000 government jobs. In 2012, we had fewer state government employees than at any time since Governor Whitman left office in January of 2001. We promised to reduce the size of government, and we have delivered.
So, Bob, that was interesting to me because, as you heard, he held up the loss of 20,000 jobs as a good thing.
Well, some of the small print, the Democrats wanted to get into large print and headlines. Assemblyman Lou Greenwald, a very prominent Democrat, pointed out that 1,400 of those jobs are law enforcement officers, cops, who have been laid off. Greenwald estimated 6% diminution in terms of local municipal police forces, and we're starting to see crime spike, and Greenwald was trying to make the connection. So that's, you know, on one hand, Christie did appropriately praise first responders, but Greenwald's point is that there's fewer of them today than when Christie came into office.
So do you think that's a political winner for the governor, framing the elimination of 20,000 public sector jobs like that, or does it become a point of contention down the road?
I think that the governor is playing the leadership card. Right now, the state of New Jersey is still hurting. The idea of 41,000 families still being displaced is very real. And, for instance, the Barnegat Bay thing, that is just – imagine 1,400
That's what they said,
vessels
1,400 vessels
are stranded in the water in a way that could really have an impact on the environment. So we offered a very – that was an important initiative because it wasn't clear whose responsibility it is. And for a lot of the mayors down in Brick Township and places like that, not having a sense of who's going to take responsibility for this is a problem. So what Christie's doing is showing that he's on the side of New Jersey residents, irrespective of their party, and he's continuing to do that, and he's keeping the message very simple.
Listeners, you want to call in and talk about if you are a convert to Governor Christie from maybe having voted Democrat when he was first running, or one way or another, 212-433-WNYC. Did you pay attention to the State of the State address? 212-433-9692. Are you in the Democrats for Christie camp? Are you in the Democrats skeptical of how much hay Christie is making over his leadership around Sandy camp, or a Republican saying, I told you so, this guy's fabulous? 212-433-WNYC, whatever it is for you. 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org as we continue to hear excerpts from the State of the State and talk to WNYC's Bob Henley.
One of the things the Democrats were concerned about was that they didn't think that Christie dealt with the fact, for instance, Brian, right now the state has this growing budget gap, some several hundred millions of dollars of revenue that haven't materialized. Christie had a very optimistic projection of 8% revenue growth for the current year. That's kind of coming apart. Also, New Jersey's unemployment is 2 points higher than the national average. And foreclosures, you know, we're in the top now in the country. There's a lot of reasons for that. But on Main Street, there's a misery index which the Democrats feel was not incorporated in the governor's analysis of the state of the state.
So the Jersey economy in general cannot easily be called a success of the administration, though obviously he touts those numbers that are positive.
Right, right. If you were going to be looking for where, if we're going to go into a double dip, what will happen first, you'd look at New Jersey.
Really?
Because New Jersey was over-leveraged to begin with. You have a situation where the basic premise of New Jersey, since I was a kid, was property values always went up. So if property taxes went up, so what? Now we have a situation where property values are going down, but property taxes are going up. That's unsustainable. And in essence, the basic way that New Jersey funds, and this was made by a point made by the Volcker report that took a look at New Jersey's long-term problem. Yes, in a bipartisan fashion, Trenton has begun to deal with the issues of the unfunded liabilities of public pensions, but there's still a lot of heavy lifting to go.
In fact, from NorthJersey.com's list of things not in the speech, he didn't mention that he closed the projected budget deficit in 2011 by cutting property tax relief and failing to make a full payment into the public employee pension system, and no talk of closing the loopholes that let towns get around the 2% property tax increase cap. But here's how the governor framed those issues of pension and property taxes on property taxes first.
They'd increased 70% in the prior 10 years, the most in the nation. Together, we enacted a 2% per year cap on growth and the interest arbitration reform that was needed to make that cap work. Many said it wouldn't work, but the record now tells a different story. Last year, property taxes in New Jersey grew by only 1.7%, the lowest rise in over two decades. And our pension system, which was on a path to insolvency, is now on much more sound footing. With your help, we tackled the problem head on, modestly raising the retirement age, reducing incentives for early retirement, suspending COLAs until the plans are 80% funded, and yes, asking for something slightly closer to market in terms of employee contributions.
So, Governor Christie, again from the State of the State. Bob, are these perennially vexing New Jersey problems, property taxes and underfunded state pensions, getting better under this administration, as he claims?
Well, I guess the thing is maybe the decline is not as rapid, but just like Illinois, we have some real systemic problems, particularly the unfunded health care for public employee retirees. That still remains to be dealt with. And I think, the governor is trying to project leadership, and that seems to be working. He has improved New Jersey's national brand. And that's what he says justifies his whole approach, is that he's about giving the state a sense of momentum and direction. The bottom line is that for decades, both parties mismanaged, and in some cases it was like malfeasance, increased pension benefits while they cut the state contribution. Mm-hmm. And now Christie's going to have a moment of truth, because with this growing budget gap, one of the quick fixes from the old days would be to forego making a $1 billion-plus pension payment. So we're going to see he's constantly up against this. And these are macro trends that were set into motion long before Chris Christie came to Trenton.
So 212-433-WNYC. And on that very point, I think, Shengar in Hillsboro, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Mr. Lehrer, my question really to Christie is that he's done a good job overall, but I think he's failed to reduce the property taxes. And property taxes are very high, and I think anybody who wants to invest in New Jersey is going to look at the cost of living. And as a result, I think a lot of the industries just aren't very excited about it.
Shengar, what more do you think the state can do to reduce property taxes?
I think they should really look at what Indiana did. Mitch Daniels, the former governor, he was able to reduce property taxes almost by 30%, according to the book that he wrote. And as a result, a lot of the industries started coming back into the state of Indiana. And I think he needs to look into how they managed to do that. Our local unions are so strong that the salaries, the incomes, the benefits now are a lot higher than what people in private industry are able to get.
Shengar, thank you very much. And so, number one, Bob, never believe a politician's autobiography.
Well, I think that.
But still, something happened in Indiana, and you hear Shengar as a General Christie supporter say there's still too much going to the unions.
Well, we've talked about the fact that New Jersey has more governance per square mile. This is a perennial issue for the 20 years you and I have been talking.
Around 600 towns, 600 school
districts.
And then
every town has its own parking authority, improvement authority. There's a need for this consolidation, and it looks like New Jersey's running out of room and the opportunity to fix it. Governor Christie and the Democrats, one of the things they did do is reorganize higher education. There was a bond issue passed. First time the state is making a major investment in capital infrastructure for higher ed. They are trying to bring New Jersey back as the research center for the nation's medicine chest. The problem is that we're increasingly in this global environment where New Jersey's up against these macro trends I'm talking about, where it's very hard to compete, where you have, you know, and look at what's happening right now. We're still trying to sort out, for instance, what is going to be the impact of what's happening with the federal government. We still don't fully understand what the impacts are going to be of the deal that Washington cut.
212-433-WNYC. And Shengar, please call us again. I appreciate your first call to the show. Please call us again. And let's go to Michael in Hackensack. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Okay, I was just listening to you now. What I first said when I called was that I think one of the first, if I was giving Christie any advice, and by the way, I'm a liberal Democrat. I'm also a local union president for Communications Workers of America in New Jersey. But the first advice I would give him would be to change his affiliation to independent, because he does seem to do that rather well. And I've not
That's
gotten
great.
To really, I would say, admire the fella, but I'm much more understanding of him now, and I think at times he does do quite well. And just to address one other thing you said earlier about municipalities, I think, and people getting paid and so forth, I read in the Record just the other day that this retiring police chief in Fort Lee, whose annual salary was $210,000 a year, And the governor, of course, gets $175,000 a year, and the Fort Lee Police Department is under $100,000. And it seems to me, even as a staunch union person that I am, some things have gotten somewhat out of control. And
Michael, I'm going to leave it there, but you've put some fascinating things on the table. One, Bob, is just you know, his candor about being a private sector union leader who thinks that things are out of control for the public sector union employees and coming to admire Christie. Right. And this idea that he might ditch the Republican Party and run. I know he's not considering that.
Right.
And he doesn't need to do that probably to get reelected in New Jersey. If he's got his eye on the presidency, I don't know. Probably hurts more than helps, too.
What's fascinating here is this: the caller really identifies Christie's not-so-secret weapon. Remember, in 2008, we had President Obama with an impressive performance throughout New Jersey in places like Middlesex County, where Reagan Democrats and individuals like the caller voted for the president and couldn't wait to throw Bush the Younger out. Then we see just a year later Governor Christie come back and carry places that Obama had carried. And this is what he's been able to do. He's been able to exploit, if you will, this disconnect between how private unions have been faring and how public unions have been. And it's been a successful strategy.
Bob in Denville, you're on the air. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Brian. You and I used to speak when we were both new fathers. We would exchange pleasantries over the air every now and then. Christie can't have it both ways. He's gone around the country supporting all of these Republicans who are clamoring for less government, cut spending, cut this. He even campaigned for a couple of the guys that voted against the $9.7 billion bailout package. And now all of a sudden Christie's wandering around saying, you know, we need the money. We got to have the money. He's going to punish Republicans who don't vote for this bailout package. I think it's the height of hypocrisy. Either he's going to be a small government Republican or he's going to come to the light side of the force and realize that we're all a community and that government has a legitimate function in helping people.
Bob in Denville, thank you very much. Refrain from asking you how you like having teenager. Bob in our studio, so there's a pure Democrats.
Right, and there is a point at which you have to ask.
Right, is he a big government politician? Because he says, hey, Washington, fork over that money. I don't care about anything else. I want the money for my constituents. But at the state level, he's the opposite.
Whatever is required that particular day. I do think there's an issue here about the question of downsizing the public sector. This is something that you can also create a situation where you have a protracted recession as a result. And that's the other thing. Paul Krugman makes this argument that cutting the public sector may be exactly the wrong thing to do at this point in time. The other question is, Christie, about his way he postures in terms of being a small government Republican. Christie would say that he's part of the local state government type Republican, and they've had a lot of success there. They have been able to really consolidate a lot of their controls at the state house and in the governor's mansions in the country because they have a kind of pragmatism. And Christie's spin on that is that it's a bipartisan pragmatism. And so that's where he thinks he's bringing something new to the table.
So we're almost out of time, and we're going to talk next to Michael Aronson from the Daily News editorial board, who is opposed to the stop and frisk ruling in New York yesterday, a federal judge declaring part of the stop and frisk program unconstitutional. We will get a supportive view of the NYPD on that in a minute. But I want to play one more clip. This is a clip that you got, Bob, of somebody who was considered and maybe still is considered a leading Democratic contender to challenge Chris Christie this year, and that is the state Senate president, Stephen Sweeney.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that happened is we're seeing after the State of the State and even before how difficult it is going to be for Democrats to both run a vigorous campaign in 2013 and at the same time continued to project a bipartisan cooperation with the governor on something as important as Sandy Reconstruction. It was in a press conference where Senate President Steve Sweeney, who has been touted as a potential gubernatorial contender, was just kind of extemporaneously riffing off of this challenge because they do believe the economy is in deep trouble and that Christie's policies have made it worse. Sweeney just kind of riffed that I think the phrasing was something to the effect that Christie probably prayed and his prayers were answered and he got lucky when the storm hit because his Sandy and his performance during Sandy is eclipsing his poor economic record.
As if he was implying that Christie
would have wanted this to have happened.
Right.
Right, right. And so this is his response. He had to turn around and apologize quickly.
I apologize for my statement. I felt horrible about it. And I guess I'm the first person ever that said something and the minute the words came out and realized they were wrong, tried to correct it, but wasn't allowed to. But we have a governor that said a lot of things that are very offensive over the years and honestly still hasn't apologized.
Did you see, by the way, that Christie and Sweeney kind of fist bumped instead of shaking hands on Christie's way into the speech yesterday?
Yeah, I couldn't quite get purchase of that. But I mean, I think that the bottom line is that the Sweeney and Sheila Oliver, the Assembly Speaker, Democrat, and Christie have accomplished a lot. Teacher tenure reform. There's a lot of things that they've done in the past. The problem is, can they continue producing in a bipartisan fashion when the Democrats are bound by the Constitution to have an election?
Sweeney said a fist bump for bipartisanship, but that doesn't exactly sound like he's setting up a run to challenge. We know Cory Booker already dropped out of contention. That had to be at least in part a political consideration because of Christie's strength.
So far, the only Democrat brave enough to throw her hat in the ring is Senator Barbara Buono. So right now we do have one. They have up until, I think, April to get their signatures together if they want to take on the challenge.
The State of the State address and commentary around it. Governor Christie speaking yesterday, WNYC's Bob Henley, and thanks for all your calls, folks. We will, of course, keep talking about New Jersey issues through this election year. Bob, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And as I said, a federal court has struck down part of stop and frisk as unconstitutional in New York City. We'll hear about it in a minute.